Welcome to the first episode of the Meet the Mancunian podcast season 3. I'm Deepa Thomas Sutcliffe, host of the Meet the Mancunian podcast, which introduces listeners to inspirational Mancunians who are making a difference in the local community. Whether they run a charity or a social enterprise, volunteer or coach others, host a community or go it alone, all my guests have fascinating stories to tell. Sit back, relax, and listen in to Season 3 of the Meet the Mancunian. Tune in to your favorite podcasting platform every Tuesday. Curious about supporting aspiring and newbie podcasters? Meet Wick Elizabeth Turnbull, host of Mike's Podcast Club and founder, Mike Media. Wick, thank you for talking to me and my listeners.
I'm delighted to introduce my guest, Wick Elizabeth Turnbull, host of Mike's Podcast Club and founder, Mike Media. So, Wick, tell us about how you found your passion for podcasts.
I found my passion for podcasting. Well, it all started with a passion for audio, actually, and a passion for radio. So when I was very, very little, I know it's hard to believe I could get any younger, but when I was very, very little, I had like a Fisher-Price radio player, with a little microphone on when I was tiny. I was like 4 years old. And I used to just buzz off making my own radio shows, and recording, pretending I was a DJ. And I think also it came from being in the back of my dad's car, my mum and dad's car, and going on long car journeys and listening to the radio. And also when I got a little bit older, recording the charts on the radio as well. And I just loved that there was someone speaking to me and sounded like they're having a ball, and I wanted to do that. So at a very young age, that's what I decided to do. That's what I decided I want to be when I grew up. I wanted to be a radio superstar. Well, I tell a lie. I did toy with wanting to be a chef, but I saw some chef programs on the telly and I just didn't want to get shouted at. So I decided I want to be a chef. So I went to college, went to uni, and did all media stuff. And it was just something in me. That's all I wanted to do. Just that was my ambition from a very young age. But it wasn't a straight path to where I am now. I went on a little squiggly path and started working when I left university, went to work for some charities, some really cool youth charities, and did loads of stuff there, put on events and did massive national projects, fundraising, marketing. And I worked in the third sector doing cool things, creative things, for about, let me do some maths. It would have been for about 11, 12 years. And during that time, I started my own radio show because I still wanted to do audio things. And I presented and hosted my own radio show for 4.5 years. And throughout all that time of working in the charity sector and doing my own radio show and interviewing bands and doing some really, really cool stuff, I found my passion of wanting to help and amplify underrepresented voices. I still had my love of audio and I loved working within the charity sector. So when I finally got made redundant from my last charity job, I stuck all those passions together and out popped Mike Media. And I mean, it was a very good timing because just around that time, podcasting was it started getting bigger and bigger. So Mike Media perfectly slotted into that space.
Amazing. And tell us about the Mike Media community. How did you start that?
So Mike's Podcast Club came about at the end of 2018. It was my first year of being a freelancer. And I spent a year dipping in and out of various things, figuring out what I wanted to do with my life, and started to get into podcasting, started my own podcast, and realized there was nothing in Manchester for podcasters to come together and hang out. There was no meetups. Like, I'd been to some creative industries ones, I'd been to some illustrator ones, but there was nothing that was specifically for audio producers and podcasters. So unlike me, I just went, why don't I just do it myself? And I did. It was started in November 2018, and it was a meetup for podcasters to come together and help each other make podcasts. And it started out, it was called Mike to start off with. It's called Mike Talks. And we had a panel and it was in a room above a pub in the Northern Quarter where all the good stuff starts. And it was a monthly event. And there was, and the reason why I started it was because A, there was nothing like that for podcasters, but B, at the time, and still it's still true now, it might even be a little bit more noisy now, is that when you're starting a podcast and you're going to look for advice, or you have a podcast and you're looking for advice online, and you probably know they start your podcast deeper, is there's so much information, isn't there?
That's right. And
so much information that's conflicting. Like, for example, buying a microphone. Like, there's so much advice of what not to buy, what to buy. That microphone you've got now, Deepa, that the Blue Yeti. Go on one website, the Blue Yeti is, it's amazing, it's fantastic, it's the best thing since sliced bread. Go on another website, we hate the Blue Yeti. So you don't know where you stand. So that's why I started, another reason why I started Mike's Podcast Club was because there's nothing better than learning from the experts, and the experts are the people that are living and breathing it in person, and to cut through all that noise that you find on Facebook groups and also on websites as well. So that's how it started, and it's grown. So last night we put on our, I counted it earlier, it's like our 35th event.
Wow.
Yeah, so we now do monthly meetups online because the pandemic forced us to go online, and we do, every so often we'll do in-person socials, and it's grown into a global community. And I say I originally started to bring people together, but because we were forced online, it's now grown online. But we do have these in-person meetups, and it's now a monthly live Q&A with podcasters by podcasters, and we often have special guests, like we have like Ollie Mann, a podcasting legend, or Brown Girls Do It, British Podcast Award winners, who come and share their wisdom as well. And we've got almost 900 members, and I recruited at the very start, a guy called Charles came to one of the meetups, one of the physical ones, and he was like, I really like what you're doing. I went, do you want to help me? And so I roped him along very early on, and it's me and him that run it now. And you've been to one, Deepa, the community looks
like
it's really
good.
Yeah.
Really no great egos. Advice. It actually got me to buy my mic because I got so inspired by all the conversations happening. So it was really great. And I've also seen one of the videos of your meetups, which I think, talked about how you could take part in the British Podcasting Awards. So some really useful layman language advice, which was really, really good. So thank you for all the great work you're doing there.
Oh, I'm chuffed. I must make it clear to your listener that I'm on no commission for that microphone, but it would really help.
So tell us about any challenges in this journey. You had that passion from the time you were a child, but, obviously, like you said, you took that squiggly path to find radio and then to find podcasting. So would you say there have been some challenges in that journey? And are there anything that you think listeners might be able to learn from?
Yeah. Oh, so many challenges. I mean, from the year I graduated, well, the year I left at comprehensive school and got my GCSEs and got an A star in media studies, it was 20 years later that then I had my first full year. My wage was through audio. So this is a 20 year journey. And I know, again, Deepa, don't look that old. Stop it.
You look extremely young. I don't think you look like you spent 20 years in media.
Spent 20 years in the charity sector as well. I should look older. Mind you, this Zoom's been really kind to me today. So one of the challenges is mental health. I think it's a huge challenge. And we're recording this in Mental Health Week as well. I don't know if your listener or yourself might relate to this, but in my 20s, I went hell for leather in working. Like, I wanted to prove myself and I wanted to strive and be the best that I could be. And it really, there was times when I was in the office at 9 and I wouldn't leave until 8. And that was a normal day for me. And so that really impacted my mental health. And I think before I even started that I in my 20s and starting a professional workplace, I think I had underlying anxiety as well, but it manifested in me not looking after myself in my 20s and working really, really hard. So in my 30s, when you're a little bit more of an adult, you're a little bit more of a grown up, and you realize that actually that is not important. And looking after your little noggin is more important. So that's been a challenge, is having mental health hiccups. So from anxiety, breeds the need to that can stop you doing day-to-day stuff or stall you, especially when you're starting a business, that can be quite stressful, and the anxiety levels can rise and dip. So towards the latter half of my 30s, which is what we're in now, is doing more things to look after me, and if that's just, and it sounds really hippie-ish, if that's just having a bit of a meditation in the morning, or eating well, or not drinking as much, which is quite hard because it can be quite stressful for everything that I do. So anxiety and self-care, anxiety being managed through self-care. Another one, another challenging thing, moreover working and doing Mike Media, being my production company that I named after the meetup. So a couple of months after I started Mike's podcast club, Mike, I thought, let's start a podcast production and training company called Mike Media. There's a whole story behind it, in that it was a product of that year being freelance and wondering what I was going to do. And it was now or never to follow my audio ambitions. But also, because I loved the ideology and the way of life and the striving for better things in the third sector, that's why I decided to make my production company and training company a social enterprise. So it's a profit for purpose podcast production company. It's all the P's. And I went into that quite naively. Again, unlike me, I didn't plan it. I didn't do any business plans. I didn't do any prep. One day I woke up and went, let's do this. And that was the hardest thing. I was starting a business from scratch in an industry that I had no name in. Apart from me being a music reviewer and a journalist of sorts and a radio presenter. So that was hard, starting a business from scratch. Literally from nothing. I made my own website. It was proper bootstrapped.
And you also did this during the pandemic, or around the time of the pandemic.
Yeah, my first full year was pandemic year. Yeah. So that tested the old anxiety levels as well. But one of the good things about podcasts, it's in its nature, it's online. And so you can record things online, like me and you are doing now. So that was a saving grace. It wasn't a fruitful year. I wasn't at all earning a very much money, but I managed, like a lot of us did. I baked no banana bread during the pandemic. I had no time off.
No, I could totally understand, but thank you for sharing that. So tell us a little bit about who you work with, who are the people who come. You've talked a little about the podcasting community and the Mike's community podcast club. Who comes to these meetups? You mentioned 900 guests, but tell us a little bit about why they're coming and what is it that, what impact are you making through this?
So yeah, the two things I do mainly. So Mike's podcast club is a voluntary thing that I do, just because me and Charles want to provide a space for podcasters to learn from one another in a safe space that's got no egos in it. It's just full of good eggs. And the people that come to those meetups are podcasters. Generally people that have a podcast already. And within that, it's so broad. We've got people that have podcasting businesses like me and Charles. We've got people that are independent podcasters that are doing quite well. we've got newbies that have just started out, so fresh podcasters, and we've got BBC producers that come along to learn and share. So there's the two reasons why people come along. They come along to learn about the different bits of podcasting they want to know about, but also we've got professionals who have been doing it for years that come and share their wisdom as well. So that's Mike's podcast side of things. That's the podcaster community. And then within that is this really, the thing that brings us together is our love of podcasting. But within that is so many wild and wonderful interests and hobbies. So for example, in our community, we've got a guy who has an alpaca podcast about alpacas.
Yeah, I think I heard that. It Steve, the alpaca guy or something?
Steve, alpaca guy, yeah. We've got Ian, whose podcast is hugely successful around. He shares stories of the Cold War. And we've got Charles, who's got a podcast with his football club, Northampton something, Town United, one of those. We've got a lady who does a comedy podcast with her and a pal. We've got a lady who does a podcast, Lindsay, called Making Stitches, about crafting and embroidery and all that stuff. So people that would never come together normally, ever, in any walk of life. We've got you that comes along. You've got a podcast about inspiring Mancunians. And the common thread is podcasting. It's brilliant. I love it. It's great. And we have such a good time. Second Wednesday of every month online. So that's Mike's podcast club. And then we've got Mike Media. So Mike Media I call it podcasts for good eggs. So I predominantly work and specialize in working with organizations and people within the social impact sector. So charities, CIC, social enterprises, value-led corporates, house and associations, awarding bodies. So people that are doing good, I work with to help them make podcasts or train them how to make their own.
Very interesting. How can interested people reach out to you and learn more? Where can they find you? So and where can they find out about the Mike Podcasting Club, which they might want to attend?
So since yeah,
it's online.
Anyone can come. Anyone can come. So you can find out more about Mike Media at mikemedia.co.uk. And Mike's Podcast Club is mikespodcastclub.com. And I must say that Mike is M-I-C. It's short for microphone, not some guy called Michael. And you can join the community for Mike free, Mike's Podcast Club. It's on Meetup. And you'll find the link from that on mikespodcastclub.com. And if you just search for us on Twitter and Facebook, you'll find us there as well, Mike Mead.
What advice would you have for somebody sitting in another part of the world? We've got listeners from 28 countries now. Ooh. Who might want to do something similar in their local community. So what could you share some advice or some tips for them to set up their own little podcasting club while they're obviously joining Mike's as well?
You join Mike's podcast club. That's the main thing. But if you want to set up something with shared interest in your community, is there a need for it? And will people come? Like, what's the draw for people to come? To come to your meetup in your community. Have a look on meetup.com. There's thousands and thousands of meetups across the world. Find out if in your corner of the world, is there someone doing something like you? If not, do it and market it and get people to come where the people you want to come hang out.
Great tips. I like it. Very logical and really... interesting one. So I hope my listeners are going to take you up on that and maybe come back to you saying, we listen, we're checking them out, and we're going to do something like this.
Yeah, let me know, drop me a line, tweet you, email you, let me know. That'd be great.
That would be great. So from since this is Meet the Mancunian, I have signature questions I ask all my guests. So I'm going to switch gears now and ask you, what's your favorite place in Manchester?
Oh, my favourite place in Manchester. So I have to admit, and you know this already, that I'm not a born and bred Mancunian. I came to university in Salford in 2003. So I've been here a long time, 20 years next year. I can't believe it. So I'm a Northerner, but I'm an honorary Mancunian. So my favorite place in Manchester. Now, this is not Manchester strictly, it's Greater Manchester. And I found out about this place last year when I went for a walk, because I'm at that age now where I go for walks. So I went for a walk. It's just outside of Staley Bridge on top of this hill. And it's a hill that I can see from my house. And I've always wanted to climb it. So I climbed it. It wasn't like a rock climbing climb. It was a hike. And the views, I love a view. And the view from the top of this hill was just stunning. 360 degree view of Manchester. So you could see all the skyscrapers that are popping up. And then you go further along and you've got the, like, Oldham in the distance, Rochdale. In the distance, you can see Jodrell Bank. It's just absolutely stunning. And I want to go back up there on a sunny day so I'm not freezing my bones off at the top of a hill. But yeah, my second favourite, third favourites are, I love going for sushi at Wasabi Sushi and having their meal deals and then going to a gig at Deaf Institute. What a perfect night.
So what do you love the most about Manchester? You moved here, like you said, almost 20 years ago or 19 years ago. What made you stay?
So what made me stay mainly was the people that I met. I had such a ball with the people that I met here, and there was no question of me not going back home. I only live in, my parents only used to live in Sheffield, so it's only across like the mountain, so it's fine. They live miles away. So, but there was never ever a question of me going back to Sheffield permanently. And what I love about Manchester is there's lots of little pockets to do everything that you want to do, whether that is climbing a hill and looking over an amazing scenery and nature, to having a night on the tiles, whatever you like to do, whether it's that's a gig or that's clubbing. There's so much to do, so much variety, and the people are lovely, and it's not very expensive. And I couldn't, apart from my hometown of Sheffield, I couldn't see myself being anywhere else, really.
Lovely. So what's the most important life lesson you've learned through all these years and all these good things and challenges which have come your way, like to everyone else?
I think keep on keeping on is what I've learned. Don't give up. Like, it took me 20 years to do what I'm doing now. And I could have easily given up and gone backwards, but I kept persevering.
Someone wrote a book on your life. What would they title it?
Just carrying on from that last question, I think they'd call it Nevertheless, She Persisted.
I love that. Yeah, a bit of sticky stick with it kind
stick
of thing
with it. Yes.
Very
absolutely.
So now it's your time to tell me about anything I haven't asked you about, anything new you're doing.
The latest podcast I've made three this year. I've got another two coming out. It was with the National Football Museum in Manchester. And they had a project funded by the Museums Association. And it's a really cool project. They wanted to help get more young people engaged with their collection at the Football Museum, predominantly women, and to highlight the women in football in general. So they wanted to do that through a podcast and also do it through young people. And so in January, the Football Museum recruited four amazing community producers, all in their early 20s. So there's Uma, Rosie, Meg, and Debs. And I worked with them and trained them up to produce their own podcast based on the objects in the National Museum's collection. And it had to, so there was, that was the only stipulation. It had to include objects from the museum, National Football Museum's collection, and it had to be about women in football or women's experience of football. And in just 3 months, they've made a five-part series called Quite Unsuitable for Females. And quite the title comes from, in 1921, the FA, the Football Association in the UK, banned women from playing on FA affiliated grounds. And in the document they wrote up, they said football is quite unsuitable for women. And it was only 50 years later when they lifted the ban. So the podcast explores, it's nuts that it was the game was banned, and it sort of went underground. And so the podcast explores that, but within the voices and the ideas and the creativity of the four community producers. And it's been doing really well. It got to number one in Apple podcast charts, new and noteworthy.
Wow.
It was in, yeah, it was in the Sunday Times this weekend. It was the British, Great British Podcasts podcast, recommended podcast. Yeah, loads of stuff. It's been Pod Bible. It's just, it's really hit a nerve with people, I think. And the backstory to it is really, really, really interesting. So that's one thing you can go and have a listen to now. Just search on your podcast player, Quite Unsuitable for Females.
Sounds fascinating. Do you want to talk about the other podcasts you're doing? Is this your, are any of them your own podcast?
No. No. I'm too busy making things for other people. I do have a podcast. It's called Tourist, and it's a travel guide, an alternative travel guide with stand-up comedians as your tour guide. And there's five episodes out there. Yeah, it's really cool. I love it. It's my baby, but I haven't got time to make it. The last episode came out last year, and there's five out there, and we go around places in Manchester with stand-up comedians, and it's delightful, and I love it. I also did one a couple of years ago called Strong Manchester Women, which was nominated for a British Podcast Award, and that was with the Pankhurst Trust and Manchester City Council. And I'm doing off my own back. I'm doing series two. It's all recorded, but I've not edited it yet, so that's coming soon as well. It's the editing. It takes ages, deeper, doesn't it?
It does take ages, especially as a professional. You must be spending way more time than I do. I think I spend about an hour or so max.
Yeah, I'm one of those people that I'm there's creative people out there that are perfectionists, and that's me. Like, it can never be right, and I spend ages on it. And also, I get a bit scared because it's my creativity, out there. So yeah, but this year I will release series two of Strong Manchester Women and potentially another Tourist episode. So coming soon.
Fair enough. So thank you so much then, Vic, for talking to me and my listeners, and really,
it's been a pleasure.
Yeah, learned so much from you, and
I really enjoyed learning about Mike's podcasting club today. Dear listener, thank you so much for listening to the Meet the Mancunian podcast, Season 3, Episode 1. I know many of you are listening from different parts of the world or across the UK. I hope this episode and the podcast itself inspires you to follow your dreams and passions, inspired by the amazing Mancunian guests who feature here. Tune in every Tuesday for a new episode. Next week, the Meet the Mancunian talks timeline therapy with Katie Branigan. Tune in on Tuesday, 2nd August 2022 to hear the next episode. Please do consider subscribing to the podcast and leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts. I will also be grateful if you could share this podcast with a friend or a family member. Thank you.